we can do all things, as Philippians 4 says, through Him, through Christ, who strengtheneth us. But give your all for God. Love Him with a passionate love, and do it and show it that people may see and give glory to your God. And notice with me lastly, we are to love God with all of our mind. And I think this is where Satan gets us. For the mind is the battlefield. And if Satan can get to the mind, I believe everything else will follow. You see, the Bible calls us to take every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. Why? Well, James chapter number 1, if you would turn with me there. James chapter 1, if I can find it. Verse number 13, the Bible says this about our mind. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Verse 14, it says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. And verse 16 urges us. It says, do not err, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. You see, the battle is in our mind. And in order for us to love God with all of our mind, in order to have a passionate thought life about the Lord Jesus, I think about this. What do you think about? I was just talking again with Auntie about, you know, how it's so easy to get so distracted. I think about when I sit down in the morning to read the Bible, or even to pray, and I'm praying, and it's just like, oh yeah, I got to do that, and got to do, wait, what? I'm praying right now, you know? And it's so easy for us to get distracted, and I believe that that's what Satan's greatest tool is in our lives. You know, we think about our phones. Yeah, they're a great blessing, but they can be a great distraction. You know, we think about Facebook. It can be a great tool or a great distraction. You know, there's a many, many things. You name it, and there's a blessing in it. But it also can be used as a great, great distraction work. I think about that, you know, for me, I've been trying to get window tinting jobs. If anybody wants to tint their windows, give me a call. trying to pay my way through Bible college. But but no, it's so easy to get distracted. You know, your mind's focused on, oh, man, that person needs to tint their windows. You know, and that's just me. But, you know, or you put your job in place of that. And tell me you don't get distracted, you know, when our thoughts should be towards the Lord and thinking about His goodness toward us. And you know, I listened to a sermon on the life of Jonathan Edwards, and it talked about how he would have, you know, I was talking to Anwar about it, but so often we can read our Bible. And it's one thing God's been working in my heart as well, you know, not just to read the Bible, but to meditate on it, to truly just dwell upon. You know, we can read 5 chapters, and it's good to read a lot to get context. But then so often we can read, and then he asks us what we read at the end of the day, and we're like, I know it was somewhere in Luke. I think it was chapter 3. No, but what did you get from it? It's like, Jesus, you know. But God's really been working to meditate on His Word. And I thought about the command. The Bible says, it doesn't say read the Bible. It says thou shalt meditate day and night. It says to meditate in Joshua 1:8. And it says to meditate in Psalm chapter number 1 and to think on these things. And I think of Philippians chapter number 4 where it says think on these things. You know, whatsoever things are true and lovely and pure and admirable and a whole list of this. But so often we think on the things of the world, of the cares of the world, of the worries of the world. And, you know, that they have their place. But as Matthew says, seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Seek Him first in your thought life. Love God with all of your mind. For the mind is a battlefield. Isaiah 26 in verse number 3, the Bible says this, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. Amen. And it says in verse 4, it says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And yesterday's Proverb chapter 3, I read it and I was thinking, you know, Every Christian knows it. You're supposed to know it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy steps. And I thought about it. Do I acknowledge him in all of my thoughts? In all of my ways, do I acknowledge him? Why don't I have peace? Well, maybe because my eyes aren't focused on him. Maybe because I am not stayed upon him. I'm not fixed and focused on the Lord. And it's interesting how Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, doesn't say, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose eyes are stayed on thee. But it says, whose mind is stayed on thee. And I found that interesting. To love God with all your mind is to have your mind stayed upon him. You know, and not saying that you just, you know, oh, I can't think about anything but God. Say, oh, that's sin. I thought about this, or I thought about my wife, or I thought about my kids to feed them or whatnot, you know. But it's, what's the dominating thought in your life? Is it him? Because if it is, you probably have a passion for him. But if it's not, that may be a reason or an indicator that, man, my fire is not like it once was. I've got to put some fuel back on it. I got to get zealous for my God, because he zealously died for me. He was passionate about his pursuit of me. And we ought to be passionate about our pursuit of God. Friends, I love you guys. And I always, I just praise the Lord for the opportunity to be able to grow and prepare for the ministry and be able to do it here. And so I always appreciate you guys coming and listening. But I'll close with this. Let's go back to Luke chapter number 10. And all that to say, and I thought about it, and, you know, I was reading. And in verse 27, you know, the person, it was a Pharisee, was asking Jesus, trying to trap him, you know, what is written in the law to inherit eternal life? And he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. And it says this, and thy neighbor as thyself. And thy neighbor as thyself. But it's interesting how thy neighbor as thyself is after. It's not before. You see, in order for us to truly love our neighbor, in order for us to have compassion upon others that we would make a difference, we first need to have a passion for God that would follow. Because if we have a passion for God, we'll see him as he is. When we see him as he is, we'll see as he sees us. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 talks about that we have the mind of Christ. And when we see things as God sees things, we'll see people as he sees them. And all how we need that. How I need that. We need to see people as God sees people. So often I see people as Mike sees people. They're in my way, you know, and they're going too slow. Man, how come they drive so slow? This is, oh wait, it's not California, it's Kauai. You know? But, you know, just thinking, man, that person might be going through something. Could I make a difference in their life? You know, but in order for us to truly love people, to love our neighbor as ourselves, we need to love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and our mind. That we would truly be able to love our neighbor as ourselves. And look down, and I'll be done. Right after that is the parable of the Good Samaritan. And what was in verse 33, it says, we see the Levi and we see the priest, the pastor and the Christian, you could put it in there. What did they do? They walked on the other side. I'm too busy. I can't deal with that person right now. But look what a lowly Samaritan, people that the Jews hated. But a Samaritan, verse 33, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, what happened? He had compassion. And I go back to Jude 22, and some, he's a part of the some, having compassion, making a difference. Are you a part of that sum today? Because according to that parable, there's one out of every three people. But may it not be said of us that be one out of every three people in this room are the only ones moved with compassion. It may be said of us that one out of this church, or us as a whole, would be the ones moved with compassion on those out there. Because that's what this world needs. It needs us to be loving people. But it starts with our love for God. How's your love for God today? How's your passion for Christ? Is it moving you to have a compassion for people? Shall we pray? Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to teach your word. I pray you would help me to be a doer of it. I pray you would help these dear people in this room to be able to love you. Lord, I pray you would induce in us a passion for you once again. You'd stir up in us a zeal for you, an enthusiasm for you, a vehement desire for you and the things of you, that you would not just be a part of our life, but you would be our life, Lord, that you would be our all in all. May you help us to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, and with all of our mind, that we would see people, that we would see our neighbors, those around us who need you, who are without you, who need hope that's found in you as you see them. Lord, help us. We can't do it without you. We need your strength, and we pray and ask these things that you would help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Thanks for coming.